we're going through the book of Exodus.
It's been great hearing how God has been using everybody to speak through the book of Exodus, and just how the Holy Spirit speaking to everybody. And of course, we're going to be in chapter 11, which is a great, great chapter. And we're kind of getting to a place where it's just going to be really bad. Good for the Israelites, but bad for Mr. Pharaoh. So I want to open up, share a couple of thoughts and notes. So, you know, we have been talking about God, Moses, Pharaoh, the Israelites, and the Egyptians. All these individuals and communities are involved in this great plan of Exodus. Exodus meaning liberation, meaning freedom, freeing the people from an oppressive leader and dictator. We have seen and heard repeating themes throughout Exodus, such as, let my people go.
Yeah.
I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh will harden his own heart. We've also seen from several times where God has told Moses, I need you to go to Pharaoh. We've seen things where Moses said, well, you know, I don't speak very well. My tongue is not very good. I've found that three times in there. But of course, God's like, I'm bigger than any type of deficit that you live or deal with. You know, up to this point, Moses has approached Pharaoh with great humility, great confidence, knowing that the Lord is with him. And with each encounter, he has given Pharaoh a choice. This is what I've noticed so far. God sent Moses as a messenger. Moses goes with a request, and he gives Pharaoh a choice. And what's amazing about this choice is this, that God could just say, look, this is what's going to happen. You have no say in this. But God goes and says, well, let me present a request to you. Now think about that. How often does God come and say, I want to request something of you? You know, like, but you're God. I mean, you shouldn't have to request nothing of me. But even now as we live life, God requests that what? We be faithful, that we be loyal, that we be committed. And so God approaches Pharaoh with this attitude of like, just ask him to let my people go so that they may go and worship me. This is how this initial encounter starts out. A simple 3-day journey. You know, in our lives, we are presented with choices and decisions like Pharaoh that we must make. We must choose the road that we are going to take every day in life. You know, the roles that Pharaoh was faced with, the same roles that we're faced with in life, I call it interstate pride. You know, we spend a lot of time on interstate pride. And there's not too many edges off interstate pride when you're on it, because you're just flying straight ahead, top speed, I know best, and nobody can tell me nothing. I am the man or the woman on this road. But every once in a while, God comes along, and God says, well, I'm going to submit a request, so I'm going to extend an exit off this, and this is called humble exit. I'm going to give you a chance to get off on this exit. But you know, we have not always taken a God on this request to get off on the way. No, we have not. And Pharaoh, right now, is facing this. He's on this interstate called interstate pride. We call it I pride, or whatever you want to call it. And God is like, man, do you want to stay on this interstate? Because the only exit off this interstate is called hard, hard exit. Huh. This is what Pharaoh is living on. Hard, hard exit. You know, but when God gives you an opportunity to exit off from humble exit, you have to count the cost to see if interstate pride is worth staying on. Turn me over to Luke. We're going to be back in Exodus. Luke here. And what does counting the cost looks like? Luke chapter 14.
Come on, bro.
What does counting the cost look like? I don't think Pharaoh really got this. But Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 31. Let me get there. It says, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him? with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. You know, when you are going up against God, and God is basically trying to say, hey, let's negotiate some term of peace here. We need to have a heart to say, I'm willing to submit. But in this case, this was not Pharaoh's heart. This was not Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh had no interest in terms of peace when God sent Moses. What about you? Do you have any interest in your own life with terms of peace with God? Are you always counting the cost to make sure that the peace treaty between you and God is still active? Because sometimes we can violate that peace treaty between us and God. Pharaoh, in this instance, and I'm going to read something here in a little bit to give you an idea about who Pharaoh was and why Pharaoh thought the way that he did. But back over to Exodus 11:1, we come to the point where God is having a conversation with Moses. He's like, man, you know, it has reached to the point where we're at the point of no return. I've given Pharaoh every opportunity to get off of this road called pride, to get off of this interstate called pride, but he has refused to take it. And pick it up in Exodus 11, chapter 1, it says, now the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. He says, after that, he says, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. He says, tell the people, the men and women alike, are to ask the neighbors for articles of silver and gold. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's official and by the people. Point one, blessings come with obedience. Blessings come with obedience. Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing how God has made the Egyptians favorably toward the Israelites? Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to take you back. Go back with me over here to Exodus chapter 3. Blessings are always coming if you obey. God can see farther down the road than you can see. That's what you got to realize.
Yep.
Go over to chapter 3, verse 21. Many days before we reach this point here, 21 says, and I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians.
Amen.
Wow, what a plan. This is in the very beginning when he was telling Moses, look, man, I got this great plan. This is going to work out. Trust me. I'm going to make these people give you their silver and gold. That equates to our bank account and the money in our account. Can you imagine that? God works in your favor. God said, don't worry about it. Before everything go down, I'm going to make them go in their bank account and give you all their money. By the way, you can take their clothes too. What a powerful God. What a powerful God. And all Moses had to do was obey and be God's messenger and carry out God's plan. You see, when God considers you to be special to him, he wants you to be blessed. You got to realize that. But not all blessings are given freely. God expects you to put some work in.
That's right.
You see, the main work God expects from you is obedience, which requires that you do right by God. Obedience, it's a great thing. It has been a challenging thing in my life. I don't know about your life. It's been a challenging thing. But the more and more that God extends grace and mercy, we get an opportunity to perfect obedience in our life.
That's right.
And that's something. We get that opportunity to perfect obedience in our life. And because Moses was so obedient, God is honoring a promise, a word that he gave back to Moses many days before Moses started this journey, before Pharaoh, requesting that Pharaoh let go of God's people. I want you to understand, you will not see many blessings in your life if you deny God the right to use you as he sees fit.
That's right.
You got to realize, you will not see many blessings in your life if you deny God the right to use you as he sees fit. And so here we are, God's having a conversation with Moses. He tells Moses, I'm going to bring one last plague, but before the plague comes, I got to keep my word. You need to start going to your neighbors, because I have set it up so with all these plagues that has happened in the Egyptian life. At this point, guess what they want? We want the Israelite gone.
Right.
Regardless of what Pharaoh wants, we want them gone. And we'll give whatever they need. We'll do whatever it takes to see them gone, because we're tired of going through this. We over here in the dark, they in the light. We can't even go in the light. We got gnats. They don't have no gnats. We got flies on the floor. I can't even walk barefoot on the floor because there's flies on the floor. They ain't got nothing.
Right.
Right.
We want them gone. God said, I will make them give everything you do. Verse 4 says, so Moses said, this is what the Lord says about midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn son of the female slave, who is at her handmill, and all the firstborns of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any person or animal. Then you would know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, go you and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. Second point, a death blow. Moses is angry. He is upset. You know why Moses is angry and upset? Because Moses is thinking, it didn't have to come to this. It just did not have to come to this. You know, and all the other messages that Moses delivered to Pharaoh, he was never angry. This one made him upset. Because he knew that Pharaoh had finally pushed God to a point where God said, okay, I'm going to show you that I am really the only God. And you're not this God who you think you are. And Moses knew, most like, man, he's about to take life. He's about to take life. And Moses can relate. The firstborn, I'm about to take life. But it didn't have to come to that. You know, I want to speak about leadership a little bit. You know, Chris said something last week that was amazing and it stuck with me. And he said, you know, a man in Pharaoh's such position, a leadership position, he doesn't realize that he can make or break a nation. Mm-hmm. And he didn't make a nation. He has gone to the point where he has about, where he is about to break a nation. That's what is mind blowing. About to break a nation. Good morning, Zoom Land. Be sure to put yourself on mute out there. They got it, Richard. Thank you, Richard. Amen. And so we're dealing with a death blow here. I'm speaking of leadership. You know, as men, you know, I remember young being a king, and you'd be like, I'm the leader, I'm the leader, I'm the leader. But I have to tell you, there's been plenty of times I have either made or broke my family on the certain decisions that I made because of my pride, because my heart was hard. And it got to that point. And we have to be careful with, like, especially I'm speaking to the men, they have to be careful, like, well, I'm a man, I'm a leader, I'm like, we have to be careful with that. Because we can make or break our wives, our families, our kids. We can do that. And we can't go back and correct it, but we just have to learn from it and live with it and do better going forward.
Yep.
I speak also to the single ladies out there. You know, you are the leaders in your own home. You too can make or break your home also by the way that you live. You know, a death blow from God comes when we refuse to submit, when we refuse to let go of our viewpoints, when we refuse to just humble out and let God have his way with us. But how did Pharaoh reach this point? I want to read something to you. Love doing history research a little bit. So here's a little bit about Pharaoh. It says, the Pharaoh in ancient Egypt was the political and religious leaders of the people and held the titles Lord of two lands and high priest of every temple. The word Pharaoh is the Greek form of the Egyptian Piro or Pyro or Parah, which was the designation for the royal residence. It means great house. A supreme ruler of the people, the Pharaoh was considered a god on earth, the intermediary between the gods and the people. When the Pharaoh came to the throne, he was instantly associated with Horus, the god who had defeated the forces of chaos and restored order. And when he died, he was associated with Horus, the god of dead. As such, in the role of high priest of every temple, it was Pharaoh's duty to build great temples and monuments, celebrating his own achievements and paying homage to the gods of the land who gave him the power to rule in this life and would guide him in the next. Additionally, the Pharaoh would officiate at a religious ceremony, choose the sites of the temples, and decree what work would be done. Although he could not choose priests, and very rarely took part in the design of a temple, as lord of two lands, the Pharaoh made the laws, owned all the lands in Egypt, collected all the taxes, and made war or defended the countries against aggression. If you want to know how Pharaoh got to this part with a hard heart, that's simple right there. I'm God, I'm king, and I'm the priest. Here comes Moses. Moses said, hey, my Lord, my God says you need to let these people go. I'm offended. What do you mean? I'm God on two lands. Who is this God? I get Pharaoh. What God is this? My whole lineage is of God. What God is this? They want to let these people go. Well, we need to go out and worship and pray to our God. Well, hold on. Pharaoh's offended again. I'm priest. What do you mean? I play all the roles. So I'm priest. What God are you going to worship? I'm priest right here. I'm ceremony. Wow. I can see how Pharaoh's heart would get hard. Mm-hmm. I can see, man, me getting a hard heart. Because guess what? You telling me there's another God? There's another priest? Might as well be another king. But wait a minute. I'm king too. I can see how Pharaoh got to this point. Can you imagine somebody coming in? You've been king for all your life. You've been a god in this land all your life. You take what you take. You defend what you defend. You build temples, you build monuments, you build all these great things for your own achievement to be recognized.
Right.
And then here comes along some guy. Who are you? Well, you don't look too dressed well. Who are you? All scared of what? What? And you want what?
Right. Hey.
First of all, I'm not first offended by you trying to take people from their word. The fact that you mentioned there's another God. We have an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm offended. And there begins the hard heart. I'm offended. I think you want to take them to worship? I am priest. What I say is scripture is divine. You know, if you look back, you will see that there is always a trail left of how you got to this point of life. How did Pharaoh get to this point that we're about to experience? Where he's going to experience the death of? Just go backwards and look backwards. You know, I went back and seen a couple of scriptures. And just, you know, some things that stuck out to me, you know, what God said, you know, and I mean, you don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to read a couple of Exodus scriptures. Exodus 4:21 says, the Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. His heart will be hardened so that he would not let the people go. Wow. Well, in chapter 5, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. There it is. I'm the only God right here. I'm your God. I don't know your God. There it is. Who the Lord? I didn't let him go.
Right.
He goes on further in another part in the line. Says, when he's talking to Pharaoh, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh. Oh, we are offended again. This guy walks up here. God said, not only am I the one and only God, but I'm about to make you God like God to Pharaoh. Oh. Pharaoh's heart's getting harder and harder and harder. This guy is offending me. Wow. He says, but hey, because of this, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Because of this action that God has taken against Pharaoh, Pharaoh's heart is going to be hardened. He said, though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt,
will not listen to you. Heart's getting harder and harder. And it goes on.
It goes on. And it goes on. I can read a whole bunch of them. But the point we're getting here is that we can avoid a death blow in our life if we will only submit to God. We can avoid a death blow in our marriages, in our jobs, just the people we interact with. We can avoid these things if only we will submit to God. We do not want to have a heart like Pharaoh, a heart that is hard, a heart that is offended. Because when your heart gets offended, you did get prideful.
Yep.
And in the old days, some people probably still do now. When people offend you, a lot of times you go,
uh-huh.
And then you go, whatever look you got. then they got an elevator. Talk to the hand. Pride is expressed in so many different ways. People walk off from me in a conversation. But you know you don't want to walk off from God.
That's right.
When God is trying to get your attention, you need to listen. You need to clean the wax out of your ears. You need to hear clearly what God is asking of you. And you need to submit. Because if you do not submit, and all those times God has made a request of you, you will eventually end up at an ultimatum that resolves that will result in a death blow to your character. Finally, guys, in the last part of chapter 11, verse 9 says, the Lord had said to Moses, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you. So that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt, Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let Israelites go out of his country. I don't know if you remember a few passages back, but Pharaoh one time was negotiating. Well, we'll just let the men go. Well, okay, so we'll let the women and children go. Well, we'll let the cattle go. He was negotiating. But now Pharaoh's like, I ain't letting nobody go. Nobody else. Do you know it's been almost close to a month they've been going through this?
Yeah.
A month. That's a long time to be hard-hearted.
Yeah.
Remind the scripture in Ephesians. It says, do not let the sun go down with what in your heart?
Anger.
God knows, man. With each passing day, my heart gets harder and harder. But you know, closing guys, I want to share with you called, just take note. Take note of the wonders that God is doing in your life. Take note of the wonders that God is doing in your life. Stop and pay attention to the details. Why do I say this? Because only a humble heart can see the wonders of God.
That's right.
And a hard heart can't see nothing.
That's right.
Amen.
It just can't see. Even though this has already happened, I tell you, when I read this about Pharaoh and that's how he's been, and just so hard-hearted and just more consumed about his image as a god, a king, and a priest. My heart hurts. When I read this, my heart hurts in this passage. It really hurts for what happened to them. And I'm like Moses, you know, angry that it has come to this point. All because he refused to submit and listen to God. Pharaoh refused to take note of who God was. He refused to take note of the position that God was in. He refused to take note of the true God. Is this you? Is this you this morning? Has this been you this week? Have you stopped taking note of who God is? And who God should be in your life? Has this been going on with you? Have you been refusing to submit to God this week? Being more about you, like Pharaoh, building things up for me, my achievement. Have you not been taking note of all the things that God has been doing in your life? Guys, we don't want to be like them. We don't. And we don't want to be like Moses, so angry that it has gotten to a point where we're going to have to go through it. Because we brought this on ourselves. There's a scripture that says, over in James 4, it says, if you know the good you ought to do it and you don't do it, you again. Yeah. There's another scripture over in Genesis 4. God says, he tells Cain, if you do the right thing, will you not be accepted? I think for us this morning, guys, not only the challenges, we look at the story and just how God is just really giving this warning of this last, what I call a death blow plague. Just, God, I'm going to take your kids. I'm going to take your kids all the way down to the animal. In fact, I'm going to take your firstborn.
Right.
We never want to get to that point. We never want to get to that point in our walk as Christians, as disciples of God. We never want to give God, basically put God in the corner of God and say, the only way I'm going to get your attention is this. I've got to deliver a death blow to you. Something's going to make you sit up and pay attention and realize that I am your God and your only God and your one and only true God. Let's get off interstate pride. There's nothing on there for us. Let's take humble exit. Because on humble exit, there's Faith Boulevard. There's Love Courtyard. There's so many things that God offered. But on that interstate pride, there's nothing but hard hearts.
That's right.
It goes nowhere. Let's take note of the things that God is doing in our life. Let's be grateful for the blessing that God has given us. But most of all, let's do what God expects of us. Let's obey, let's submit, and let's never experience what Pharaoh is about to experience. And that is a death blow. Guys, thank you so much for your time this morning. Glory to God.
Amen.